Kansas City. I can't wait to get to your wonderful town. I'll be there January 20th through the 22nd. Get your tickets for those dates and all dates at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I cannot thank you enough for coming out and supporting the Night Pants Nation Tour. We're having a hell of a fun time out there. We've sold out shows in Indy, Baltimore, Cleveland, La Jolla. I mean, it's a hell of a time. Thank you so much. I'll be hitting Kansas City in January, January 20th to the 22nd, Kansas City, Missouri. Get your tickets now at ryansickler.com. Join the email list. You'll be the first to know about a bunch of upcoming events and things. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, please. I say it all the time. It's nothing to you and it's everything to us, all right? Just hit that subscribe if you're watching. And thank you for your support. The Patreon show, you guys are just killing it with the stories. I mean, holy shit. It's $5 a month. I'm not raising the price on it at all. It's going to stay five. And you get the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. And if you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. So it actually is a good deal to do that if you're in for the long haul. All right. The HoneydewPodcast.com is the website. And if you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to HoneydewPodcast@gmail.com. All right. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights, and this is a little special holiday honeydew here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have this man back on the podcast. Please welcome back to the Honeydew, Josh Potter, everybody. Welcome back to the Honeydew.
What's up, dude? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in for a holiday
edition.
I clap
for myself.
You should clap for yourself. We're clapping, dude.
Hell yeah.
Plug whatever you want first, please.
The Josh Potter Show every Tuesday on YouTube. Please to be subscribing to that. Also, gigs. I got Milwaukee Improv on the 23rd of January. And then a week after that, on the 30th, West Nyack Levity Live. Then on the 2nd of February, Pittsburgh Improv, and the 3rd of February, Raleigh Improv. So all those shows, come on out. We're going to add more at @J_Potter on Twitter and at @Josh_Potter on Instagram. That's where you can find out about all that stuff and more.
Go get tickets. Go check them out.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for closing out the year with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
My first video guest ever.
Nice little wrap up. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Episode 13,
bro.
That's right, dude.
That's right.
That's my lucky number, so.
Is it really?
Yeah. I was born
on
the 13th.
See, it works perfect.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what number this is.
I think I was episode 69, too. That's always a good number to be.
Come on, man. I wanted to talk to you just about I wanted to have a lighthearted conversation instead of a lot of the in-depth stuff we get all the time.
Sure.
But just about some holiday honeydew moments, because I know I have plenty of mine, and I was like, let me call Josh Potter and see what he's
got. Yeah, I've got a few of those myself, actually. We were talking about, I bought my nephew a crazy toy. First time I got to do that. I'm going to be the crazy uncle that just buys.
How old is he?
He's about to be three.
Okay.
So
what'd you get?
I got him a Power Wheels. He loves a Spider-Man cartoon on Disney Plus. Patrick Stump does the theme song. It's awesome show. There's like 8 episodes and he knows like the words to all of them.
Isn't it crazy how they memorize
it's
shit
crazy.
That fast? Like I don't, he maybe, like just maybe started we talking. Did. I don't remember if I did.
I mean, if I did, it was like Ninja Turtles, I guess maybe or something. My mom always would say, she's like, you've seen this thing 1,000 times. I remember her like yelling at me about that stuff. But now I feel like kids... He knows how to work an iPad like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. I think he knows how to work it better than I do.
My daughter's showing me shit on my phone. No lie. I swear to God. I'm like, wait, how'd you do that with that maps right there? She's like, oh, you just put it in here and this is ride shares. I'm like, holy
That's
shit.
That's hilarious. My father's wife has this game and she like got to a level and she stumped. And then one day she caught him playing it and he like got it past that level.
Nah.
Yeah. And he like barely talks.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, so I bought him that. But I was thinking back to the Power Wheels I got as a kid.
So Power Wheels, for people that don't know, is like those little motorized Jeeps or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They make them all kinds of crazy.
Two kids can fit in them.
Now.
Yeah.
They're like, they have like Lambos now.
Yeah, I've seen some
and
of
I was
going to
buy
shit.
Like some crazy ass Lambo, but I was like, that's more for me than it is for him. He doesn't want a fucking Lamborghini. So I got him the Spider-Man car. And my brother-in-law's already like, where am I going to fucking put this? He's already mad at me. I can't wait to buy him like a drum set.
Well, that's like, what I used to do. Get the crazy annoying, shit. Yeah, finger paints and shit fucking up the house.
Well, did you have revenge on you when you had a kid then? Did your?
I mean, people bought. That's what you get for kids. You know what I mean? I'll tell you the revenge on me is those fucking, their kits, jewelry, beads. Oh, motherfucker.
Boy.
One of those open motherfucking beads. You're
beads
like,
everywhere.
God.
You're vacuuming that shit up for fucking.
I'd rather white paint. I would because you never get them all.
Yeah,
You'll step on one. You're like, fuck, right in your heel.
You never step on paint. Yeah, exactly. No, but I remember when I was a kid, we'd get like, my parents would buy us crazy gifts every now and then. My dad bought us a Nintendo, like the 8-bit Nintendo when that came out. And I wanted it so bad. And he got it, but it was just the box when I opened it. And they acted like there was like, oh, they forgot to put it inside.
Nah, dude.
It's like before viral videos or like Jimmy Kimmel was fucking with kids, you know? And my dad just did that for fun. Like there was no video.
Right.
Yeah, it was just to fuck with us for like the whole day.
Wait, he did it for the whole day?
Oh, yeah, the end of the day, he's like, oh, we found this in the hall.
That is good. That's cruel.
No video
as fuck
or anything either.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. It was just for
now
his
they'd
own.
Be like, look, it's 3 hours later and they're still upset.
It'd be on Instagram now or whatever. My dad would be on, you know, Good Morning America or something.
I remember, up until our family split apart, which wasn't long into my life, but the memories I have, we had good Christmases. Like my father, I rode by recently too. My dad, for 2 years, bought, you could go in the woods to this little nursery that grew trees and you could chop your own tree down. Mm. You bring a fucking chainsaw or an axe, you chop your own tree and it's like $10. You know what I mean? You chop it, you fucking take
it. It's the experience that you're paying for.
And my dad got two of them with the roots and we put them in the house, decorated them, and then he planted both of them out front of my favorite house. And that house was a basement and then two stories above that, those trees tower that house.
So you got them with the roots on them.
Yeah, you had a burlap bag and you just kept it, you know, wet and alive. And then when you were done with using it as a Christmas tree, you took the whole root system and everything, took it out front, dug a hole, buried it. And that month, those are their towers now. They're huge. They're real, they're pine trees.
Sure. And they were small when you bought them.
Yeah, regular, like 6-footer. Yeah.
Oh, and the roots weren't like.
No, nah, not that big. They were like, I'd say a good bundle.
That's crazy.
Though. You had to take two hands to hold it and carry
sure.
it. Yeah. But I remember, and I just found this out recently. This was pretty fucking cool too. They used to have the fire department would have Santa Claus ride by in the neighborhood,
they still
you know,
do that
wave
every now
and throw some candy and shit. And we have this old video of this and I'm looking at the video and I don't see my dad in the video. And then my mother told us recently that was him. And I was like, get the fuck out.
Oh, he was Santa.
Like, dude, that made me cry. Like, so like, you know what I mean?
Like,
and now I'm like, he went out and did that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's not just like for the whole neighborhood. You know what I mean? And all you get is you get a fucking. It's that fast. You know? That's it. All that for the
he just drives by.
He and now I think about it too. Having twins, dealing with my mom and my younger brother, sitting on top of that motherfucking fire truck in costume with those sirens blaring. It was probably the most peaceful.
Oh yeah, do you think he had a beer with him
ever? Fucking that.
He's like, hey, all right.
Loud ass siren. He's probably enjoying the shit out of it.
Oh yeah.
Like, how can I get a moment of peace? Oh, you motherfuckers.
There was a couple of times my grandpa did my mom would try to like perpetuate the belief in Santa Claus. So like we're getting older at this point. My mom would be like, we got to make him believe even harder or whatever. So she would get my grandpa to like stand
in
the backyard.
Oh, she wouldn't lighten up. She'd dig in.
Oh, yeah. It's like she was like, they're starting to know. We got to like really make them. And she would do like videos and stuff. Like she had one of those huge VHS video recorders, cam recorders or whatever they're called. And like she would put in, she goes, Santa left a video. And she'd put it in and it'd be like my grandpa walking around and he'd find the camera and be like, no looking or whatever and turn it off. I'd be like, holy shit. I can't believe we saw him. That's crazy. And then the next year she had my grandpa like stand in the backyard And then she'd be like, go to sleep quick. He's here. He's here early.
He'd be outside.
Yeah. And he's like walking around in the backyard.
He's here early.
Yeah. He's like, the sun wasn't even down.
Now
like,
kids can be like on that NORAD whatever the fuck it's called. I'm like, no, he's not. He's over Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the AM radio telling me, I'd be like, they don't know. I got to call it in or something. I would want to call the radio station or whatever. But yeah, she would like perpetuate the ruse to the point where I found out. It took me till sixth grade.
Kids weren't telling you.
Well, here's the thing, dude.
We saw him.
When other kids would tell me, I go, that's just a bad kid who doesn't have Santa come anymore. And that's what their parents
that's
told
what
them.
Your mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She would fucking plant that worm. And then
sixth grade. That's
dude,
a long
I remember
time.
Me and my best friend Chris were sitting in science class, and Mr. Dzak was his name. Said something, and him and I looked at each like it was about how Santa Claus is not real. And him and I looked at each other and were like, "What?" Like he was the only other guy that still believed it.
Yeah,
and we both were like, and his mom, because he was like an only child. His mom like went in and like lost her mind on the teacher and everything like that. Like, how dare you fucking tell? Her and my mom became friends from that moment on.
Well, my daughter is in first grade. Last year, she was already coming to me.
Well, now with the computers, I don't know. They
but not only that, you know, you got the older brothers and sisters. Oh, sure. They're no, it's not real. And then they're like, my older sister said, and that's what you got to tell them. Like, well, that's just because they're bad and they're not getting
right.
Shit. You're too young to ruin Santa yet if you already
Yeah, that's it always sucks when one figures it out or like loses that sort of belief early on. I feel like it's like they're missing out on. I'm glad it took me forever. Maybe I don't know
Jewish
if it correlates with my virginity. My virginity also, I lost that late too. I don't know if it all pushed everything. The Overton window moved.
It closed for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's correlated. I am just very stunted as an adult too. So I don't know. Like I feel like I'm just becoming 25 mentally. So I'm 10 years behind in everything.
I was saying it was the Jewish kid in our neighborhood that kept going around telling everybody that Santa wasn't real, but he wasn't just saying like my parents said it's not real. He was like rubbing it in people's faces.
Oh yeah. He's an asshole.
And and that's one kid just beat his ass, that's you know, hilarious. And then you find out later like, oh man, he took, he wasn't wrong. It was just the way he was doing.
My mom would be like, well, that's just because he's a Jew heathen.
Throws heathen on it. Too. Yeah.
He's a dastardly Jew. That's why he's saying that.
Everything was good for a while. Christmas is, I remember too, we had the old school original Star Wars action figures.
Ooh.
And my dad would tell us, put a couple of them, save them, we're like, whatever. And my brothers and I would tie fishing line or shoestrings around their necks and slam the doors shut and pull the heads off,
oh,
you know,
hilarious.
Just torture them while we're playing and shit. And then later, you hear that they're worth a lot of money. You're like, oh, you start going to find Greedo and shit. You're like, yeah, we had him. His head's on fucking Han Solo's body,
that's
you dumbass.
See, I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. I saved all of them in the box. I wasn't allowed to play with them.
You weren't allowed to play with them.
And they're still sitting in a box somewhere. My mom's like, I can't find anyone to buy these. And
the
I'm
Star
just,
original
you know,
Star Wars?
I mean, it's stuff like that. It's Beanie Babies. It's fucking
people
all
that
shit.
Has she been on eBay?
Oh, yeah. She doesn't know how to do it. And I don't know how to. I mean, it's a delusion of things.
You might have a small fortune sitting there.
It's funny. I had her on my podcast to talk about Black Friday shopping with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said the same thing. Like, why don't you try selling these things? And she's like, well, they're only worth as much as someone's willing to pay.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, you got to look, lady. You can't just like sit around and be like, no one's coming to my door asking me for, you know, Princess Diana Beanie Babies and shit like that. So I don't know what she's going to do, but one day she'll die and I'll get a bunch of Beanie Babies and fucking Ninja Turtles and shit. But starting lineups was another one too. Do you ever have those?
Yeah, the action figures.
I had a Michael Jordan with hair. And
what?
Because he was like, at one point he had hair.
He had a little bit. He did. Did he have a little bit though?
But they put
he?
Him, like put hair on his head. Like,
you have a Jordan with hair?
Yeah, but I took it out.
Box?
I played with it. I'm dunking with it and shit. And my dad was so pissed. He brings it up all the time. He's like, you had the Michael Jordan with the hair.
You had the Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan.
That's like 1989, 1990. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like the regular one. It was with the hair.
Oh my God. From the high school team he was cut from, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Man, I knew it all shifted when my parents split And then you start bouncing back between homes, right? And I knew Christmas was different when we're at my dad's mom's, my grandmom. That's who we call my grandmom. You know, that was grandma.
Sure.
And we're leaving her place, and it's my dad and my two brothers and me, and we're going to the Civic Center in Baltimore to watch a Baltimore Blast game. It's like right after, the day after Christmas or something. We got all our presents from him and everything. It's in the back of our station wagon, our Aspen station wagon, the limited edition wood paneling.
Were you sitting in the back and you can see out the back?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And AM radio comes on, and when you hit the accelerator, you hear it in the speakers and shit like that, nice. You know? And we parked. My dad would never pay for a garage. It was always, I'm going to find a street spot. We're like, okay. And, you know, you go to an event like that, you're driving for 20 fucking minutes city trying to find a spot. He finally, like, here we go. And we come back after the game, and you just see there's shit all over the ground. We're like, nah.
Uh-oh.
My dad's like, uh-oh. And they stole Christmas.
Bro. Oh, no. You had Christmas in the car with you?
Why his was it? Whole Christmas.
Oh, I see. Because it was like he was about
we had just gone to his place.
Fuck.
He was put all our shit, take us back to mom's after the game.
Jesus.
And the Baltimore City, whatever. Oh, they stole Christmas, God. Bro.
Yeah.
Well, they don't give a fuck.
That's what he's like.
There.
The Grinch. What does he say?
It was clearly three people shit, too, in the back. You know what I mean? Everybody had an Umbro bag for soccer or whatever, an Adidas bag.
Oh, shit.
It was loaded up for them. All they had to do was go in there, grab this and this and this. They took it all, man.
I thought the Grinch was green, Dad, not black.
You said that. I don't know who stole it.
We didn't know so. We didn't see him. Yeah. That's true. Could have been a green person.
Could have been a green person. Yeah, man. Baltimore City stole Christmas.
That's
I was
wild.
Like, man, shit's different from here on out. I can tell it's going to be
this year,
different.
The Grinch is the supply chain. The supply chain's stealing Christmas this year.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was brutal. That was definitely fucking brutal. I remember, too, still believing or still questioning at the time. Now we're questioning it and looking out our bedroom window and seeing something red in the fucking sky and shitting ourselves thinking that was Rudolph.
Yeah.
Rudolph.
It was a
flying fucking deer with a fucking, And I mean, hustling under those covers. And then you're so excited, you can't get the fucking sleep.
Oh my God. I remember being like having so much anticipation for Christmas that it would like, I'd feel like I was going to explode. And then all day on Christmas, I couldn't enjoy it because I would be sad that it would end.
Right.
And I remember I would just cry all day.
Enjoy the moment. Cry. Yeah.
I would be like tortured by the fact that it was going to end. I'd be like, it's going to end tonight. And my mom would be like, well, have fun then. And I'd be like, no, it's over. Like I was, the depression after Christmas, even as a kid, was like crazy. But it changed
like
for me.
Tell me.
It was just like, because it was so much fun. Like all my whole family would come over. This is when my grandparents were still alive. And we'd have like all my cousins, everybody, all my aunts, all my uncles. All in one place to the point where there's like probably 40 people or so.
Damn,
at Christmas.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
every
great.
Time.
Yeah, that's the old days.
And we would go
days,
through
huh?
and be like oldest to youngest, or youngest to oldest, they'd open presents. You'd have to sit there and watch everyone open their presents. And the family just kept growing and growing, so many grandkids that it got crazy. And it would be like a 6-hour thing. And they would be strict about it. Like if you open your presents and you were a kid, they'd be like, you have to watch grandma open 7 hours from now. You know what I mean? So we'd all sit there. And then when my grandparents died, it was like my parents or my mom and her siblings didn't talk anymore. So it's like we never saw these people again. So Christmas ended up be going like completely downhill, like somewhere, I don't know, when I was like 13 or so, 14 or so.
Yeah, I'd say I was a little bit before that for us, but
yeah. But it was always like so much fun to be, and then after that, like it just became like another day almost. Do you know what I mean? Like
right.
You'd have like the morning or whatever, but it wasn't the whole like family gathering like it was.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was the same way for us. We had a really big Italian family, and it would be everyone at my grandmom's house, and we'd stay there for a few hours, and then we'd all go, including her, to one of her sister's houses and see everybody and the cousins over there, everybody hanging out. Then we bounce all of us together now going over to another sister's house, and it's all these great aunts and cousins and just hanging out. Man, I really do miss it. And I remember, too, like what I didn't realize is my family's Italian. So when I would date girls and go to their shit and I'm like, you know, where's this and this? This one lady's fucking pouring rum on a cake and lighting it on fire. I'm like, who the fuck's your god? You know, where the hell are the stuffed shells, bitch? So
Italians,
I was like,
do
where's that?
Particularly, like, they have the cookies.
You have all that. The traditional shit plus.
Right.
It's not like you're just getting this. You want your turkey, your mashed potatoes, your fucking ham at Easter, whatever. It's all there.
Sure.
But it's also all this shit over here. And I was like, I'm going to eat off this side of the table.
Yeah.
Did you have it? You obviously had a kid's table.
Oh, yeah.
You
had enough, right? We had so many people growing up that it was insane. It was like, looking back, you're like, oh, man, that was almost like torture or a lesson in discipline or something to like open your presents. And then you can't even like go and play with them. You have to wait through all of the people. Obviously the gifts would get less, but it would get really like the grandparents would get the most gifts probably.
That's why your shit's still in boxes. You got, you were over
exactly.
It by the time
I was
you were
like,
able
I
to play.
I forgot I even got it. Yeah. By the time. And then toward the end though, it would get frayed. Like I said, so many grandkids were being born that it was like, you know, it was a small fortune to buy presents for everybody. So it had to be a policy, like either I have to buy presents for everybody or I buy presents for none of
right.
them. So then you start getting less as you get older. You know, you'd be like, I think I was like, you know, 14 or so or something like that. And I would get like 3 gifts. I'd be like, okay. So now I'm just like a prisoner to this process. I'm in the middle somewhere and I'm going to sit around here and watch everyone open presents. Then it's going to come to me. I'm going to be like, cool socks. This, you know, it'd be
guys.
Like 3
Another
gifts.
Wallet.
And then I'd just still sit there for the rest of it. It started getting torturous, you know, as we got older. But
I remember once we found out Santa wasn't real, it definitely took some shine off of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So my brother and I would sneak down at like 3 or 4 in the morning when Christmas was set up. And we knew our parents would be asleep, exhausted. And we go down there with a little roll of scotch tape and we would just tear a corner and be like, we got the Millennium Falcon, and then tape it back. You know what I mean? Like, got a baseball bat.
My mom would continue, even though she knew we knew, she would still like save some presents to put out until like 3 in the morning and write Santa on them. And I'd be like, thanks for the such and such. And she'd be like, Santa brought that. And I'd be like, okay,
thanks,
you.
Mom.
Yeah.
He did.
He brought that for you. That wasn't me. And she would like maintain that ruse, despite knowing we knew.
It all changed, obviously. My dad died like right after Thanksgiving. And then that was it. I can remember moments of Christmases. I can feel the heat still from the fireplace, all that shit. Once my father died, I swear to you, I can't pinpoint a fucking Christmas beyond after, you know what I mean? Like
I'm just having that now. Like since
I'm like,
I moved to
LA. That was my when I was 8. That Christmas was when I was 10. Now, but since he died, I can't.
Right.
I can't. Now, once my daughter was born, that's when it began for me again. You know. But it's still, you're talking about 30 fucking years of Christmases, and I can't remember like one where I did something where I'm like, fuck yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, I haven't gone home for Christmas since the first year that I moved here. And I've been here for Christmas the whole time. And one Christmas I went to Tom's house, but the other couple, I couldn't tell you what I did. Last year, I don't even, I told you, I just remembered what I did for New Year's like 2 seconds ago. Last year, it was just such a blur.
Yeah, last year for us was
like,
COVID
I think I
Christmas.
Twitch streamed on Christmas. Might do that again this year. I don't know. But I, New Year's was always like a holiday that I worked on since I was like working in radio even. Because I would board
any
up.
Any service industry people out there, you all, always working the fucking holidays. And I know working hotels, I never had a day off.
I would either be doing like, when I first started radio, I would be doing like the board production, like board hopping, like an event during the midnight ball drop. Or then I started hosting those. And then I started doing comedy shows every New Year's because I thought like, what else am I going to do? Like, it's cool. I'm making money. I still get to like hang out and drink or whatever and have fun. Like doing comedy during New Year's was like the best way to do New Year's, I thought, for a long time.
Yeah, well, you're amongst the masses who are all out there drinking. You can join them if you feel like it, work at the same time. I mean, it's a pretty unique thing to
New
be able
Year's
to do
New Year's out
here
is weird, I'll tell you, because it'll be like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it's like last call.
Yeah.
Back home, it's 4
but it
a.m.'s
already,
last call.
But it already just fucking, you know, you just watched it.
Yeah, but
you
it's just
I mean?
Weird
it's
to
weird
like go
too.
To go home at 1.
Life on tape delay.
Yeah, it's well, that's true too. Yeah, you're watching it throughout the East Coast and then the Midwest and et cetera. So yeah, it is weird out here. West Coast New Year's. But there was one year I did a, it wasn't a ball drop, it was a guitar. Hard Rock Cafe does like a guitar drop down this giant building. And I was hosting it. So I had to go out, like it's a stage, there's bands, and people are out in the crowd. And so when it came to do the countdown, the Wailers were on stage. You know who the Wailers are? Like Ziggy Marley,
Bob,
I guess,
yeah, or Bob Marley's
kids,
band,
I guess. Yeah, and his kids doing it now. So they're on stage. They're all fucking blazing. And they're up there. They're playing like Jamin or whatever they're doing. And they're like, it's mid. They're telling me, they're like, it's about to be midnight. And I'm like, well, they're playing a fucking song. What do you want me to do? They're like, get out there. And they don't tell, I don't know where I'm at, right? So like, I just go out there and I'm like, 10.
You're interrupting the way Bob Marley's fucking kids.
Well, Bob Marley's dead, but it's the kids, yeah. Well, they're supposed to be done. They're supposed to know.
They're on weed time.
And yeah, they're just like, we jamming. I'm like, oh, shit, dude. So I run out there, and I don't know where I'm at in the count. Like, I don't have a precise atomic clock to tell me, like, start counting down now. They're just like, it's going. The thing started coming down, and I'm like, 8.
No, you started 7. 8. Yeah,
I just, like, because it was already going. So I just, and 8. I totally blew it. Like, there you go. You were about 4 seconds late. And I never did that gig again. I got, for the next year, they got someone else. Like, you blew the whole gig. The whole gig was the countdown.
Just the countdown.
I'm like, well, I hosted the
whole
event.
Your whole job was 10 seconds.
Yeah, they're like, it was, like, yeah, but that's 8. The most important part, and you fucked it up.
Oh, God, that is hilarious.
They're like, yeah, the new year started at 12:01 for us. I was like, it's not, so I was like, fucking Wailers, they ruined my $500 gig or whatever it was at the time. And it was like, that was important to me. And I was fucking pissed at them. And I remember I ended up like doing a couple shots afterwards and literally just, they gave me a hotel room in that hotel that the event was at. And I just went up to the hotel room. It couldn't have been 12:25. And I just took my suit off and just laid in the bed and went to sleep.
That was it.
Yeah, that was the end of my new year. I woke up at like 3 a.m. I go, oh man, I really fucked that new year up. You know, I didn't even do anything fun.
When it comes to skincare, since I've been a teen, I've always had skin I was uncomfortable with, from the pimples to blackheads, all of it. Bags under my eyes, everything. I've tried everything going all the way back over all these years with skincare. And Disco is my new favorite. Disco is a clean skincare brand based in Austin, Texas. All Disco products are created specifically for male skin issues like under eye bags, dark circles, acne, razor burn, oily skin, dry skin, and wrinkles. Products are easy to use, effective, and affordable. They take the guesswork out of taking care of your skin. The stick is formulated with caffeine, peptides, and moisturizer to transform those under eye bags after a long night of partying, gaming, working, or whatever your vice may be. The applicator is easy to use. You just roll it on under your eyes, you pat it lightly, and boom, you're good to go. If you want to check out Disco and try their incredible skincare products for yourself, we have a special offer for my Honeydew audience. Go to letsdisco.com/honeydew or enter Honeydew at checkout for 30% off your first order. That's letsdisco.com/honeydew for 30% off your first order. Thank you, Disco. Dudes, skincare is not just for the ladies. Trust me. Now, let's get back to the dude. I told this story before, but I know I've never told you this. So when I first moved here, I was a production assistant for what was then Fox Family Channel. It later became ABC, and now I think it's like Freeform or something like that. And we started this thing then. When I was there, we created this, they did, and I was working on it, called 25 Days of Christmas. It was going to be this promotion, which I think still runs all through every version of whatever Fox Family was. And the first year, I'm a production assistant, and they're doing this giveaway. It's a $25,000 giveaway, and it's open to anyone in the continental United States, okay? And they need a PA to go on this shoot with this producer named Allison, who was the shit. She and I used to go, she was like, I'm going to see Tom Petty at the Fillmore. I was like, fuck yeah, and fuck, I've always wanted to go to the Fillmore, and I would love to fucking see Tom Petty, and we road trip up. So she's like, I want Ryan to come. And I was like, awesome. And she's like, it could be anywhere, Ryan. I was like, fuck yeah, hopefully it's Florida. Yeah, you know, hopefully it's somewhere warm, sure. You know, let's go. And this lady wins, and it's Three Mile Island, fucking Pennsylvania.
Oh, no.
And it's
Three Mile Island?
It's a trailer park.
Why did they pick her?
Did she won?
Oh, she just won? Yeah, oh, that goes to show it's not rigged, I guess.
It was not rigged.
You're going to a nuclear waste dump.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wait. Of all the fucking places we could go, that's where
like
we're going.
That's like going to Fallujah. I mean, you might as well just go to a war zone. You're going to get radiation.
So, like, that's where we're going. Like, okay. And I'm like, what's the deal? Like, okay, the gist of the promo is that Gary Coleman has been hired and agreed to play this oversized elf. And it's basically this elf is delivering
oversized the elf?
Maybe he wasn't. Okay, but the check he was delivering was oversized. I misspoke. Yeah. Okay. He's delivering like one of those Humongous Prices Right style checks. Like
right. The check is oversized. He's average size for an elf. Yes.
Well said. And he's this plight of him taking this check across country to wherever, because it could be anywhere.
Right.
And they're going to shoot him. He's going to fly. And then we're going to be like literally in and out in one day. We're going to not, I don't even think we're spending a night.
Wow.
So they're like, you're going, the ladies in Three Mile Island. Here's your flight info. Here's Gary's stuff. You guys are flying in a little bit ahead of him. We're like, okay.
Oh boy.
And then when we land, yeah, Gary missed his flight. We're like, did he miss it?
Did he miss it?
Yeah. Did he miss it?
Or did he see where it was going?
So we're like, how about, did you talk to the driver that was supposed to pick him up? And the driver was covering his ass. That driver's like, I got out of my car. I've done this with this guy before. I went to his door. I knocked multiple times. No answer. Wild. I'm telling you, he just did not show. He's a no-show. He's not late. He's a ghost.
Yeah.
So, but he's supposed to be here today. And now he's not. And we're shooting in a few hours.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, Allison looks at me, and she knew I did comedy and stuff. We were super cool. And she's like, will you be the elf? And I was like, nope, I'm definitely not doing it. I'm not fucking doing that. And she's like, listen, maybe we could get you your SAG-AFTRA card. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not doing this. She's like, we could figure out a way to get you paid for this, though. If you're going to perform on camera, then they got to pay you more than your PA rate, which was $100 a fucking
day. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm like, I don't want to do it. And again, we're super cool. We blaze and stuff. She's like, just put the fucking clothes on. And
do they even fit you?
No, dude. I put his little pants on. I mean, it's all my nutsack
that's
and shit.
What I'm
you know
saying.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like, I can't
like,
get on camera
yeah,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
so
that's like
she's like,
profane.
She's like, will you fucking. So I walk out of the bathroom dressed like that. I mean, the shirts, she is dying. And she's like, if we can go to the mall and get you some clothes, would you do it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. She's like, please. I'm like, fine. But you got to call them and get me something paid or whatever. Taft-Hartley, it was called, if to get you right into SAG-AFTRA. I don't even think it was SAG-AFTRA then. I think it was just SAG.
Sure,
then.
Sure.
So, or after, whatever the fuck. So, they're like, yeah, we'll pay them. We'll try to help them with that. So, we go to the mall, and we had to get Gap Kids. And I couldn't remember. Something happened where it was – oh, no, we had to take his clothes back to Gap Kids. We go to me, we get Gap, and we get
Gap
a smock.
Kids?
And it was where we had to get his shit at Gap Kids. That's why we were there. So we go to Gap, get my shit. And then I go, all right, if I'm going to do this, I want to be able to call the shots on, like, what these little things we're doing. So, like, while we're driving to the mall, there's an outhouse, a little fucking porta potty in the middle of a cornfield. And I was like, I want to come out of that with the check. Like, I just took a shit in there and, like, okay. We shot that, me coming out. Like, I took a shit in this random thing. The van broke down, so I'm, like, laying under it, and they're shooting me with my little elf shoes out and shit. And then we get to the house, and I've met the lady and everything, and I'm going to be honest, like...
The trailer park house.
She was in a trailer, and...
Not the house. Yeah.
And it hit home for me, because I've never lived in a trailer, but I've lived in an apartment that might as well have been a fucking trailer, because it was just
like a
tiny square living room here, a tiny square kitchen next to it, and then it's literally a hallway.
Yeah.
And off that hallway are rooms, one, two, three, and that's fucking it.
Right.
And this was... I mean, we were a step above that in that apartment, I felt like. And we had kerosene heaters. Did you ever use those?
You
know
I think
the ones
so,
I'm
like
talking
camping,
about?
Yeah.
But I mean big floor ones.
Right.
Yeah, and she had them. But, you know, my brothers, again, this is something that if your kid falls and hits it, they're going to ruin their
yourself.
Face.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
But what do my brothers and I do? We're over there spitting loogies on it, watching it sizzle.
Yeah.
Because we're just fucking pig boys. You know?
That's
dirty
funny.
Touch it. Dirty touch it.
Oh, that's so
dirty
funny.
Touch it. And they grab their hand, put it on, like, ah, you motherfucker, you know. And we're filling it with carrot. We're in middle, you know, we're in fucking elementary school and shit, filling it, middle school, filling it with kerosene.
Yeah.
Kerosine.
Yeah,
you're leaving
crazy.
Your kids home alone. In a, with
inside,
kerosene.
By the way.
In an apartment
yeah,
building
yeah,
that could blow up
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not your house.
Yeah, exactly.
A complex.
An entire complex of people.
So, you know, she has to now, we have to tell her, of course, and she's, I wish we were rolling when you tell her, but they have to tell her ahead of time for legal reasons.
Sure.
She's obviously not a good actress, of course. And now I'm out on this porch. And it's, by the way, it's fucking Pennsylvania. It's freezing. I am in sweats and rubber elf shoes. I am in a smock. I'm fucking in a turtle. I'm freezing. And I'm just out there like, go do it again. I'm going to tell, like, oh my God. And while I'm out there, the fucking school bus pulls up.
Oh.
And all the kids see me. And they are going nuts.
Like in a good
Mr.
way?
Yeah, they can't believe it. Mr. Elf! Mr. Elf! They don't even know why a fucking elf is on the porch in a trailer park. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck's happening?
Mr. Elf.
Mr. Elf, they're screaming. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I
right?
thought they were like, you're a little tall to be an elf. They're just fucking with you the whole time.
They couldn't
shit.
Get over that something festive was and different than Santa was in the
sure.
neighborhood.
And
you know, they're
cameras
freaking
probably
out.
Too.
Yeah. And the kids come in, and then I gotta stand there and do the check with them, and I got my photos of it. The thing ran. I remember a friend back, I'm back in Maryland visiting, and some friend's like, I just saw you on Find Us. I said, no, you didn't. Like, yes, I did. I go, nah, that was not me. I don't even work there. Like, well, that guy looked just like you. I said, it wasn't my hair. But it was.
That's
God
good
damn.
When you have a twin, too. You could blame it on him.
He doesn't look like me, though.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's hilarious.
And then I get back, and what does Gary Coleman do? Gary Coleman starts lying, saying, I was there, and you guys fucked up. And so what do?
They paid him anyway.
They pay Gary Coleman. What do they do to me? Nothing.
They didn't pay you?
They didn't pay me.
Oh, my God.
They didn't help me with SAG or after, whatever the fuck it was. They didn't give me a fucking day off.
Oh,
nothing.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
Fucking
that's what they did.
Business.
Gary fucking Coleman got paid.
Ugh. That's
yeah.
gross, dude. I did my last girlfriend and I broke up on New Year's Eve because I did a comedy show.
On New Year's Eve?
Yeah, because I did a comedy. I like I said, I was doing comedy shows every year. And it was me, Dan Soder, and this guy, James Davis. The three of us were doing like a weekend and New Year's Eve fell in it. So it was like three shows. It was like, New Year's Eve was always a big check. You know, that's why I love doing it too. And I always pick comedy gigs over girlfriends at the time. And so I was like, yeah, I'm working New Year's Eve. So I don't know. She's like, well, can I come? And I was like, no, I mean, it's like, I'm going to be on stage during, I can't even like kiss you at midnight. You're just going to be sitting alone in the showroom. Like, why bother? She's like, well, I want to go. I'm like, all right, fine. And then that day she's like, I'm sick. And I'm like, okay, well then don't come. She's like, no, I'm still going to come. And I'm like, not a good idea, but whatever. So she... So she comes to the show, and afterwards, you know, we do the midnight thing. I say hello to her. And then, like, afterwards, we're just, like, waiting to settle up, and, like, we're blazing in the green room. And, like, I don't know, 20 minutes go by, and she's like, when are we leaving? I'm like, we are not ever leaving. I got to drive these guys. They want to do stuff. I'm going to go with, you know, like, I'm the MC. I got to drive the headliners around or whatever. I got to take them back to the hotel. She's like, well, I don't feel good. I want to go home. I'm like, go home then. I will see you when I get home. And so I just broke up with her.
Yeah, that's enough.
We've been dating for like years. And I was just like, this is the end. This is the done. Like, I'll see you when I get home if you want to talk about it. But we are done. Broke up with her right then and there. And I haven't had a girlfriend since then. That was like ringing in 2016 or 2015 or something like that.
Not that long ago
yeah,
at all.
I guess that's not that long ago, but yeah, it's well, it's more than 5 years at this point, I think. But yeah, it was just like, I realized in that moment, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to love a girl more than I love doing this, you know?
This is our passion.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
people don't get it. Because, you know, but also, a lot of people don't love their jobs.
That's true, too.
You got to
yeah.
remember that. A lot of people hate their jobs.
Of course.
So they can't understand how in the fuck you could love your job and pick what they view as work over them because they don't like what they do. So they must assume you don't.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean, especially somebody who doesn't have any passion for anything, dating those types of women is like soul sucking when they don't have anything to really latch onto. And then they latch onto you and your shit. And you're like, whoa, I'm still like, I can't be the shining star in this relationship here. You know what I mean? I'm still trudging it out on my own. So yeah, that it just was a real eye opening New Year's Eve. That one for sure. Going into it, going like, we are done. Happy New Year.
Starting a brand new year off single.
Singy for the new year.
I did a gig one time. You'll appreciate this. I got hired. Brian Baldinger, my man Brian Baldinger, is the one that booked me for this. I can't remember what year it was now, but I was the LAPD robbery and homicide unit's Christmas detective. Okay.
For a role? Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a corporate basically, but it's for the LAPD and homicide unit's Christmas party.
Okay, I see.
Excuse me. It's just on the other side of downtown off the 10. It's like a country club up on the hills. I've been past it a million times, of course, never been up to it, but
sure.
Really nice place. And it's probably 2000, excuse me, 6 or 7 it probably is. And they're telling me like one guy from the entire department is in contact with me. And he's telling me, say this about that. You can say this about this person. And I was like, but I knew that. I was like, I'm not going to do any of that. He's like, you can talk about this guy because he's like the tech guy. I was like, no. But language, whatever. He's like, do whatever you want. So I get there and they're like, we have food. You can come and eat. And I'm like, I already know what your food is at the buffet. I'm not going to fuck with that.
Yeah. You
know, maybe after. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I get there. You're going to do, 45 minutes. I'm like, okay. And it's middle of the day. It's like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all brightly lit. There are babies running around on the floor.
Oh,
and shit.
No.
Children all over the place.
I can't do that, yeah.
Christmas tree, huge over here in the corner. And then when I get there, the guy I haven't been dealing with says, no foul language, no this, no that, no nothing. Mm. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I get up and there's a little old school podium, you know what I mean? Like a principal's podium up there, that wood shit. And I grab the mic and I go to start walking the stage. That motherfucking mic went about this far. And I go, no. I go, you guys don't have a mic I can move? They're like, no.
It's one of those podium mics.
Still.
Like,
yes. As soon as I bet that here, it's like, I was like, no. Yeah. So now I'm stuck standing dead still for 45 minutes.
Like you're giving
minutes.
A speech.
And the first thing I said was, look, they don't want me to say, they told me I can't cuss. Here are all the rules they told me. I was like, you guys are eating sandwiches over dead bodies, but I guess I can't say fuck up here.
And they die.
And then I just go, all right. And what I had done was research of all the open cases that are still out there. And I was like, all right, Biggie, who's on it? He's over there. I'm like, where are we at? RFK apparently is still unsolved. Who's on that? Like, he's over there doing that shit.
That's so crazy.
So that's all I did for like 45 minutes was talk to him about open cases and who's on them and shit.
That's
like
great.
That.
Would you just Google him at the time?
Yeah, I was looking. I just wrote open unsolved cases, LA Police Department. And they would have things in there that were like still unofficial.
And they're laughing. They're like, we don't know. It's
like, nah, we don't even.
They got the bulletin board where it's like a clown on there.
He's supposed to be
like,
working on it now. He's here.
Like,
you know?
It's that scene in Dark Knight where they're like, we're following all the leads of Batman. And it's like Abraham Lincoln's on the board or whatever.
that was tough. But one of the worst ones I ever did was Full Charge and I, Matt Fulcheron and I did this Christmas gig. We're same time. Too. It was right around the same time.
Same year?
I think it was because I was living in the same apartment when this happened, and I remember it was so bad. He picked me up. I was in Sherman Oaks, and we go out to like the Deep Valley, and it's this Armenian dentist. And he threw a party for his patients and his employees, like a bunch. And so it's a big ballroom. Like where I come from in Maryland, we have these places called Martin's West, okay. Martin's East, and they're just ballrooms.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a building, it's got like four of them in there, and they'll have proms there or weddings there. It's just a big ass ballroom. And that's what this shit is. And it's big. And they got a live band and stuff. And then again, we're each doing 20 minutes. And I gotta go first. And I go up, and I mean, first of all, most people don't even understand what we're saying.
Sure, because it's like like the speakers are in the corner.
Yeah, and also there's a language barrier for sure.
Oh,
homeboy
sure, yeah. Well,
is, you know,
true, yeah.
Iran.
I thought you meant because the shitty-ass ballrooms.
That, but, too. Yeah. Like, you could not, You couldn't, this mic, you could move left or right, but you couldn't step forward or else it was crazy.
Yeah.
People were like, God. But forks are clanking the tables and shit. And there's just one table and they are fucking loving it. Everyone else doesn't give a they're talking way loud. But this one table of four right here is eating it up. And I just dove in.
You just stuck in with those, yeah?
To this day, set's never felt longer. I'm on stage going, how much longer, full charge? You'd be like, 13. I'm like, that was
God.
Seven?
Oh, God.
That was seven.
You're like, I did five jokes. I did five jokes in 7 minutes.
Dude, paid us. These four went over and told him how much they loved it, so he was happy. Paid us, and I was back home probably in like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Wild.
Back fucking home. It was awful, but the money was all right.
That's the thing. Like, those shitty, like, holiday party gigs, they, like, you know, in the years past, those used to be like, you make a nut doing those, but they were torture. I did a holiday party for, like, it ended up being, like, this bowling league had their, like, annual banquet and holiday party or whatever. And they did the same thing. They, like, rented out a room in, like, a VFW or something like that. And it was, like, four of us. We had to fill an hour, and which is nothing, you'd think, right? 20 minutes each. But, yeah, like you said, it was, like, torture. And I remember during my set, I went, like, second last. One of the these are adults, older than me adults, middle age, you know, 50s. They're now, by the time I go on stage, it's, like, maybe 40 minutes in. They're wasted. And now they're ignoring everything that's going on. Like, you're just talking into noise. And so, like, the two guys that went up before me, they were like, I just talked for the time. They're not even paying attention. And it's like four or five full tables of people. When I went up, now they're throwing things at each other like children.
These are employees who know each other?
These are like people, like adults, like in a bowling league or whatever. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like eight teams in a bowling, like some bowling league had this holiday party. So this table's a team and this table, they're throwing shit at each other while I'm on stage. And I, like, all of a sudden became an old man. I'm like, are you children? Like, I started, like, lecturing them for throwing rolls and shit at each other. And, like, there was, like, a split second where they, like, kind of were ashamed. And then one guy was like, fuck you. And he just threw, like, a roll at me.
God,
and then I go, all right. And I just walked off. And I told the guy, I'm like, you better fucking pay me regardless. Like, I had shit.
How long were you in there?
How I was long? On stage probably like, by the time I got off, 15 minutes, probably not even 20. And they, like, I derailed the set at like probably 10 to like lecture them. And then I'm trying to like get them back by making fun of them. And they kind of were like I said, I like thought I was winning at one point. And then the one guy just like, and then they all laughed at what he did. And I go, well, I've lost.
Yeah, that's an L right there.
And I did get paid, and we're drinking afterwards.
These days, I would have just been, especially with your skill set, just calling color commentary.
Oh, sure.
You
no,
know,
I mean,
like,
I would have.
This motherfucker over here's got some heat on them biscuits.
I would have had more fun with it now. Yeah. But back then, I was
I
don't know.
You'd be
encouraged
for inciting a riot.
Oh, sure.
In there.
I don't know what
somebody
they were.
Somebody gets hurt. He was encouraging it. He told him to throw the biscuit.
Who knows how it could have gone. They were so lit, these people. To the point where afterwards I was stuck there. I'd gotten a ride with one of the other guys, and he's like waiting to settle up for all of us. Cause he's like, I'll make sure we get paid. Don't worry. Cause I was like, they better fucking pay us. I'm not leaving here until they do. So he's like, I'll take care of it. So we're like waiting there afterwards amongst these people at the bar, and they'd come up and be like, oh man, that was great. And you're like, what did you watch?
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, we had so much fun. And I'm like, all right, then, I guess, like,
what do you all do for fun?
Yeah. I was like, that was the most miserable. I want to go jump into traffic right
now.
You
also realize people don't know how to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was fun.
They were like, we had a food fight. And they're all tossed, you know, they're all drunk. And I'm just like drinking beer with these people. They're like, wasn't that the best? I'm like, no. It was the worst day of my life.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I got hit in the face with a roll too. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I just walked off stage.
I've told this. Now you're making me, this is not holiday, but this is a food fight story. It's the greatest food fight in the history of, I'm going to say, high schools in Maryland.
Mm.
Because I have friends that I went to high school with whose children now go there.
Oh, okay.
And it's still, the rule is still in place. In 1990, I'm a junior. My buddy Mark Penn at the time is a senior. And for a few weeks, school hadn't been in long, but for a few weeks, there was a rumor that this massive fucking foo fight was going to go down. And it was like fourth period. And I remember we used to have, we had a three-tiered cafeteria, one little smaller area, top tier, down to a little bit bigger. And then the bottom was the biggest. And that's where the food was and the snacks and all that shit. And we had the early lunch that we hated because it was like a, I don't know, like 10:50 or something.
Yeah,
like,
and then why are we eating?
Yeah, the whole fucking day. Yeah. But that's the one we have. And everyone's been talking about it. And Mark Penn got tired of hearing that bullshit. And Mark Penn's like, I'm starting that shit today. I was like, dude, if you do it, if you throw, I'm going. I'll go. Oh, but I'm not starting it. He's like, I'm going to start it. So that day we sit up on the top tier. It's Pizza Friday. We got our milkshakes, everything. And Mark Penn is sitting where I am, and I'm sitting where you are. And the next tier is behind me, and the whole floor is down there. And Mark Penn just looks at me and doesn't say anything, and he takes his chocolate milkshake, and he just fucking chucks that motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
It is a goddamn chocolate like milkshake grenade.
Yeah.
And it hit that bottom floor, and kaboom.
Oh,
and I'm telling
God.
You, it was like a fucking trigger. Everybody. Whoa. I threw my shit and then free for all. Shit's hitting the fucking wall and sliding down like Home of the Lions. It's all coming down here and people are going nuts. Teachers are running out. The kids are coming out of class.
And it was like instant.
Instant.
Wow.
Everyone had been waiting. And when that fucking milkshake hit, people are flipping tables off. God, getting hit cups of corn, pudding, you fucking name it, burgers, fries, all the fucking shit's coming everywhere. And I'm telling you, I think school started, what, September? This just might be, I really don't remember, but it's not long. It might be November.
Yeah, it's like pretty early in the season.
We have to have lunch in silence the rest of the year. We can't talk.
In silence.
Silence. Milkshakes are banned for the school.
Oh, my God.
Not just us, the school. And that's 1990, and they are still banned today in 2021, bro.
They probably banned them in the state.
Still banned today. These girls hit me up, like, my daughters go to school there, and those milkshakes are still banned. I said, you got to be kidding.
Dude, I bet they banned them. There's probably another reason. I mean, they probably would have banned them anyway when Michelle Obama came along.
Maybe, but that was years of money making on milkshakes.
That's true, yeah.
Either that or they were like, fuck this milkshake machine. It's expensive.
Yeah, maybe. I never that was like my worst nightmare as a kid was a food fight. It never appealed to me. I'm like, I don't want to get food on me.
Oh, fuck, man. I couldn't wait.
I was always like, God, I hope there's never a food fight.
Oh, you just had.
I would like to watch one.
You had
but
like Thousand Island and lettuce dripping off your ear and shit. You're like, oh, this motherfucker got me good.
I don't like being sticky, so. That's my nightmare.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. I'll tell you another one. This is a Thanksgiving one. You know, this is after our dad's dead, and we go over to my Aunt Marguerite's, and she's got her little family and stuff there, and we're chilling, and one of her daughters is married to this fucking, just a real dirtbag piece of shit, like in every sense, just greasy, dirt under his nails or whatever. We're all having dinner at the Thanksgiving table, and this motherfucker slides his seat back just a little bit off the table, starts clipping his toenails.
Oh, no.
Toenails are flying. And my brother and I look at each other. Listen, we just sat down at the table. My brother and I, we got up. We didn't even say anything to anybody. Went right over to the trash. I dropped my whole plate in the fucking trash.
Yeah,
and we just walked right out the fucking front door. I was like, did that shit just happen right now?
Toenails.
He's clipping toenails at Thanksgiving dinner. They're flying. They're flying.
Hey, 10 points.
For real.
That's just disgusting.
Kick my butt. You definitely have lived alone way too long, dude. Too fucking long.
Well, I mean, I've lived alone for a very long time now to the point of like mental breakdowns, and I would never still do that.
Never.
Yeah.
What do you do for the holidays? Is your place decorated for Christmas right now?
I have some lights, but not really. We have like a little tree.
See, I've always, even like obviously everything lost its shine. The toughest Christmas ever was obviously right, you know, a few days, it was weeks after my father died, but not just because of that, but also like all these really nice people donated from the school, donated clothes, but it makes you feel it makes you feel like even a bigger fucking piece of shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It makes you feel like a loser. And I remember too, this one stuck in my head. I'm a Maryland kid. They're sending Michigan. I wore a Michigan Wolverines fucking sweatshirt for a while just because it was like a donate. And I felt, I don't know. I felt like a loser putting those clothes on.
Right. Like, you knew where they came from or whatever.
And I knew they came from a good place
for
a good reason. But also, it feels like you're defeated,
it's
too.
A reminder.
Once you put it on,
time,
it feels
probably.
Like you've lost.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how, if I can
it
make that
sense.
Make sense.
No, it does. Because it's like, you know why you have this piece of clothes.
And then you're going back to school and people are staring at you like, we got you that. And I'm like, oh.
It was really, it was a really nice thing that my dad used to do. But like, my grandma lived in this apartment building and there was like a family that lived across or downstairs from her or something. And it was definitely like an illegal immigrant sort of situation. They were a Mexican family and there was like two or three kids. And my dad would always like make me, like he would buy toys for them and then make me deliver them. And I always just felt strange. I'm like, I don't know these kids, but I mean, it was doing a nice thing, but it just made me feel
y'all,
like
you do wonder if
it
they're
made
like, fuck
me sad
you.
Though. Yeah, yeah. Like it just, cause I knew, and they were like, the parents were always very thankful or whatever. But, on a lighter note for Christmas time, I thought about this after our family kind of dissipated and stopped doing that whole thing. We started going to like what I consider my actual family now, like my actual family, my blood relatives. I don't hang out with them at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And now I have like my mom's best friend through most of her adult life. I always called her my Aunt Shelley. And then her son is like my best friend growing up since we were like babies. So I consider them like my cousins, you know what I mean? And then their family is my cousins too. So we'd celebrate Christmas with them like after I started becoming in high school age. And around the time like junior, senior year, I don't know how it picked up, but we started playing beer pong. So it'd be me and my cousin Drew versus our dads in beer pong. And the first year we did it, I barely drank. I never really drank. And our dads murdered us in beer pong. And so I'm blackout drunk. And I remember we were about to like leave. It was all done. And I'm shit-faced and like 17 or 18 years old. And I just was like stumbling around and I thought I was going into the bathroom to puke. And I ended up puking in the dog's bowl, thinking it was the toilet.
Nah.
And I left this giant pile of puke in the dog's bowl.
Don't say
thinking it was the toilet,
the
trying to flush it.
Dog eat that motherfucker. He probably did.
I don't even know. I don't even know. But it was like, I couldn't live that down. And then we, you know, every year we kept playing this beer pong or like drinking games. We started doing drinking games with everybody. And, you know, I started partying a little harder as the years went on. So I was able to keep up. But like maybe 2-3 years later, more of the cousins are getting involved. And there is a scandal because somebody puked in the bathroom and used my aunt's white monogram towels to like wipe up the puke.
The show and towels? So,
yes.
Nah, you know, you don't do that with the show towels.
The show, like the Christmas time towels, puke on this pure white towel. To this day, people think I did it and I swear up and down I did not do it. But no one will believe me.
Who do you think did it then?
I have no idea. I don't even know. At first I was like, no, because like I didn't do it. So I go like, I thought they were lying, but they showed me the towel. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. It could have been my little sister. It could have been so. I got because I was the dog bowl puker. I was the natural suspect. And so to this day, like I just saw them for Thanksgiving, everybody. And they're like, remember when you puked and wiped up the puke with my beautiful towels? And I was like, that wasn't me. I mean, I'll deny it up and down because I know it wasn't me. And I would admit it if it was by this point, you know.
Hopefully somebody on their deathbed will throw that out for you or something.
It was me. I'd be like, I knew it.
I'll tell you, I had a great time in Cleveland. That's my first time in Cleveland. First time doing Hilarities, which is a fucking amazing club. Sam, by the way, over there is
he's great.
Shit. Thank you, brother, for everything. Eva comes and helps me do merch and stuff
nice.
Too. And we went to the Christmas Story House.
Yes.
I posted about it and stuff. And then we get there and we buy tickets for a tour. We go to the fucking merch. I mean, they are making.
Yeah. This is the high season for that too.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm saying we're fortunate to be there at Christmas for the Christmas Story House. So we go in the merch and they've got every hat in the fucking movie. I mean, everything from the movie is in that damn store. It's insane. And I was like, you know, I just want to fucking smoke a joint out in front of the Christmas Story House. So,
sure.
I mean, we're waiting for the tour. We're going to get the tour. I'll smoke it a joint. And then I'm looking at the clock and stuff, and I'm like, I don't need to take a tour. I was on the porch, got my lamp.
Yeah, like, it's not the actual set.
Yeah, I don't want to go through this.
It's just the facade of the house. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? And Eva always clowns me because she's right. On a macro level, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. On a bigger level of things. On a smaller level, I'll be like, let's go here this weekend. And then I'm like, can we just fucking...
You qualify it. Yeah, you
can just not do like, that, yeah, please? Well, we've been out
I saw
week
the outside of it. Yeah,
yeah. I do shit too. Like that all the time. It drives her nuts, and rightfully so. And I'm like, I know I do that. I got to work on it. So we're smoking a joint, and I'm looking at the house, and she's like, what are you thinking? And she just starts laughing. She's like, you don't want to do the tour, do you? I was like, I don't know. We might be a little bit. You know what?
Once you realize the tour, it's not like this is where Ralphie shot his eye out. You know what I'm saying? Like the set, it's not the set of the film. It's not, just
I know
some
what
house.
That all is about. So I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. So she's just laughing. She's like, you fucking kill me. So I go, but do you care? Because if you want to do it, I'm in. She's like, I only wanted to do this because you said, I was like, great. So we go inside. I'm like, let me find a family with some kids. And so I find this couple and they got three kids. And I'm like, hey, you guys want to go? Because I could see they were like, I go, here's prepaid tickets. I just got to get out. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And then I look at the three kids. I'm like, I probably just made you spend more.
They're pissed. They're like, oh, God.
I just made you spend money that you didn't want. I go, look, if you can't afford it or whatever, just give them to somebody that wants them. We got to get out of here. But I always try to do something nice with it or whatever.
Yeah,
know?
Sure.
Dude, this has been fun, man. Thank you for coming.
Oh, no
and doing
problem.
This.
Thanks for having me. I actually lived by that Christmas Story house.
Yeah.
I used to live out that way.
Did you go by it a lot?
I went, I didn't do the tour, but I definitely took pictures out front of it all the time.
It's
but
fucking,
I lived there mostly in the summer. I moved away around Christmas time. So it was like, I remember it started snowing. I go, this is nice here. Oh, well. Peace out, Cleveland.
Yep. I mean, look, fuck your winters, Cleveland. Fuck everybody's winters, not just yours. But it was nice. That's a piece of Americana, legit.
For sure.
You know, and it's like, wow, that little, and you can see too. So I started walking the neighborhood because someone told me about it a little bit. I'm smoking my weed and just walking these people's property, you know, street.
Tremont's
I didn't
a beautiful
go on their
neighborhood.
And then there's still one steel mill down the hill. And it's like, oh, so everybody used to probably just work that steel mill, come up to that neighborhood there. And
Yeah, everyone had houses. Cool. I mean, being back in Buffalo for the first time in 2 years, you see that too, like with the architecture and everything like that. You're like, oh man, this is like so old compared to LA, you know, everything here is like post, I don't know. Vietnam.
I feel like when I go to San Diego, I'm like, this is a brand new city.
Yeah, I really
feel like it's a brand
new
city.
You go to Phoenix, I'm like, did they just build this?
This is new, man. It's got fresh here. Yeah. I'm talking to this dude on his balcony or his porch. He's got a night. I go, man, you did a great job with your house. And he's like, thank you. I'm like, you really did. You stand out, man. I'm down there looking up. And he's like, thanks, man. I go, he's like, this. And then he tells me there was a Toy Story, Christmas Story 2.
Yeah.
There is,
but it's like
a summer thing or something. He said,
"Yeah, it's like I forget.
I
think Charles Grodin plays
right
the dad
around the
in
corner.
That one. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
There, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know there was.
Yeah, I think Charles Grodin played the dad in that one, or maybe the dad came back. I can't remember. But it was more about the dogs and the Bumpuses next door and things like that.
I mean,
that,
they have maximized the merchandise. They sell that stuffed bloodhound. Yeah.
Oh yeah, crazy. for sure.
Dude, thank you again.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year
to
you. And happy holidays and happy New Year to all you. Please plug whatever you'd like again.
I'm excited for the new year. I'm going to have a Patreon launch in the new year. It's a lot of, it'll be like one whole new podcast a week. And then I'm going to do gambling content and sports content on there, like almost like as often as I can. So that'll just be like popping on here and there, but you'll always get a podcast once a week, a different podcast than the one I already have. And the one I already have isn't going to change. So if you subscribe on YouTube, The Josh Potter Show, that's free and you can get that every Tuesday. And then also I'm going to be coming live to Milwaukee on the 23rd of January. The 30th of January, I'll be in New York at West Nyack Levity Live. The 2nd of February, Pittsburgh Improv. 3rd of February, Raleigh Improv. So those are the ones for sale right now. So go get those tickets at Josh_Potter on Instagram and at J_Potter on Twitter.
All right. And as always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Have a safe and happy new year and come out and see me on tour. Tickets available at RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.